because you're near to me.
The Owens, Illinois Glass Company, developers of Duraglass containers, in cooperation with the United States government, presents a program dedicated to the health and happiness of wartime America. Your home front reporter, with Fletcher Wiley, David Brookman's music, our singing tenor star, Frank Parker, and the lovely soprano voice of Eleanor Stever of the Metropolitan Opera. Here he is, your home front reporter, Fletcher Wiley.
Thank you, and the best of the day to all of you out there. All this talking about putting your money in war bonds, which you probably get tired of, but there's a pretty good sound reason for that. Reading about a gadget, one of the many, many thousands that have been invented, that is pretty apt to take in a large measure the place of the new sewing machine you need. They got a new apparatus. It's an electronic sewing machine. Doesn't make any stitches. Tie that, if you will. Hasn't any needles, hasn't any thread. Nothing you pump with your feet. And instead of a collection of stitches, why, it just makes a seam, almost as though it were welded. Will be when the war's over. You know, you think I'm stooging this guy, Parker. He snickers at the doggonest places. Well, there are a lot of gadgets like them. And don't forget, a good way to lay aside the money to buy them is to put that money in war bonds. No kidding. Then you'll have what you want when you want it. Frank Parker sings now. It's an old English ballad. Frank and David Brookman, and Drink to Me Only with Thine Eyes.
Smells, I swear, not a
Thank you, Frank. You know, we're all getting a little coarse as sprouts now. To a greater or a lesser degree, that's apt to be pretty good for us. Because whether we like it or not, we might just as well learn to like a lot of things that we're going to have to put up with. The conditions that we face under wartime right now are pretty much like the weather. You can go ahead and gripe, but what are you going to do about it? So we might as well learn to like the conditions that we're faced with. By actual test, it's been demonstrated that you can make yourself terrifically unhappy over something that you could be pretty well satisfied with if you just convince yourself that you're going to be unhappy. If you go on and gripe and bellyache about how bad conditions are, they're going to look even worse than they actually are. And yet the human being is so adaptable, almost every one of us, that it is amazing what we can get along without. The girls just can't get along without nylon stockings. That is, till they can't get any more, then they get along without them. Almost everyone that's putting on the big squawk about what they can't get now can look back at the time when they hadn't even expected to get some of the things that they're complaining about missing now. I know I can very easily. Most people can look back at some little period in their life when the going was a little bit tough and maybe there wasn't so much meat on the table. Maybe not as much now as your rationing stamps will permit you to purchase, and you got along all right. You're still here. We found out now that we've got to cut out this 4 cups of coffee for breakfast in the morning, or we're going to cut out coffee entirely until we get a new collection of stamps. We can't dump all the sugar we want or stuff ourselves with cakes or pies. And if you want to go in for a 12-rib roast, you better buy one of those trick ones that they use to put in the windows of refrigerators that are for sale. Then you'll have a permanent memento of things as they used to be. But if you'll just stop and consider what the food habits of other people are, and some of those people don't live in foreign countries, too. They live in your neighborhood, in your town. It's amazing how easy it is to learn new food habits. If we cut out the grousing and just take a few tips from some of the psychologists. Your habit is something that we've learned. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. Practically everyone has acquired a good habit or broken a bad one, or vice versa. Now, how about trying that on the food? You know, after all, almost everything that grows, crawls, flies, or swims, or walks is eaten in some portion of the world, including man. We're not going to get around to that. But the diet that shocks you terrifically, that you think you couldn't possibly exist on, a lot of people have existed on. Take a reading of Northwest Passage, which tells how little people can get along on. Read the history of any people that have gone through a great crisis, individuals or nations. You can get along with a whole lot less than you think you can, and when some of us that are doing pretty well do all this squawking and griping, it really is a little bit silly. There are certain food elements that are essential for a healthful diet, that's true. But you don't have to get them out of fresh-cut green asparagus necessarily. Not that there's anything the matter with that, but those elements are contained in other things that you can get, maybe. You know, instead of kicking up a fuss and squawking at the people who normally supply you with things, if you'll make up your mind that you're going to educate you to get along without some of them, you can do it. Haven't you been in a store where some woman's come in and chewed the ears off of the grocer because she couldn't get something that she'd regularly been in the custom of having? He hasn't got it. What can he do about it? And she keeps repeating the fact that, well, she just has to have some whipping cream. Somebody's coming for dinner. He said, I haven't got any whipping cream. Don't know if we're going to get any more or not. She finally goes out mad, saying things under her breath that she'll have to go to confession to square. Well, you know, that's a funny situation. You ever read any of the Arctic explorations of Stephenson. He told about how people could get along. He had the theory that it would be possible to go across the Arctic wastes without carrying any supplies at all, simply living on meat. Nothing else. A little bit of salt, just to make it tasty, you know. And he figured the thing all out. Finally decided to get along without the salt. And he did it. He actually went through the experience. And he took a bunch of men with him. He figured out that if he had to eat nothing but meat, the chemical necessities were in there. And he killed the meat off the country, and that's all they lived on. Now, that would be kind of a boresome diet, of course, in your instance. You might relish a little meat just at the moment, but if you had to live on it exclusive, you'd probably kick. But if you had to, you could. You could live on it exclusively, or you could live indefinitely without it at all. You know, some of those people that went on this trip with this explorer were very much concerned and very fearful that they were going to have to endure a lot of hardship and misery. Some of the rest of the boys kind of acclimated themselves to the thought and figured that they could make it stick. The ones that were looking for the misery and expected it had it. And the rest of them got along quite well. Those fellows that expected to suffer, both in body and mind, did suffer. Because they magnified their own difficulties. The other fellows believed in Stephenson. They had a lot of faith in him. Figured it was a challenge, and they carried it out. And they went through with it. You know, I remember reading one time about a famine they had over in India where the staple diet of the people was nothing but millet. Well, there was no millet. So the relief committee, the Red Cross or somebody, sent in a carload of wheat. By golly, the natives wept and wailed, and a lot of them laid right down and died because they couldn't understand this strange food. And actually, wouldn't eat it. Well, sister, this is one of the times when we have to adjust, whether we like it or not. So let's like it, just for a change. It'll make it a lot easier. And let's join the anti-bellyache brigade and get along the best we can, huh? So much for that. Well, for a duet, Frank Parker and Eleanor Stieber are going to sing "If You Were the Only Girl in the World, What a Fix You'd Be In." So let's get to it.
Nothing to mar our joy.
Thank you. You know, some of the most interesting statistics I've seen for a long time, you'll find them interesting, too, because they directly or indirectly affect you, the statistics that have just been released by the Army. Through the Selective Service Director, Lewis Hershey, who wonders, maybe we're all unfit for modern war. So many of the reasons for rejection are preventable. In the first place, out of 2,870,000 rejections, 657,200 of them were rejected for mental disease, neurological disorders, or mental deficiency. The second greatest cause of rejections was syphilis. 23% of the total rejections, mental and nervous diseases. You know, that gives for a little thought. Hershey said that it's largely a question of the control of fear that was the chief contributing cause for men cracking out in the South Pacific. Tropical climate, the difficulty of bringing up food, and the constant bombing and previous inexperience of these conditions, lack of conditioning to fear, improper mental attitude. You know, there were out of about 2,255,000 out of 2,870,000 were turned down at induction stations. Physical and mental defects were responsible for 79.5% of the rejections. If you're interested, here are the statistics. The causes of rejection are these. Mental disease turned down 398,900 men. Syphilis, 301,400. Musculoskeletal trouble, 209,000. Cardiovascular heart trouble, 180,700. Rupture, hernia, 169,000 plus. 157,000 men turned down on account of their eyes. Neurological diseases, 157,000. 109,000 on account of their hearing. Mental deficiency, 100,000. Tuberculosis, 64,600. You stop and consider that most of those things are definitely preventable, that many of them could not have been in existence had anything like reasonable care or medical attention been given to the people that had them. Kind of gives you to pause and consider. Pause and consider that perhaps some of the so-called social crimes and social diseases of the country warrant more of our attention. Substitution is going to be quite a thing. They're cutting down on the variety of everything. They used to have 3,500 different kind of light bulbs. They've cut it in half. They're going to take a quarter of an inch off of matches. That'll save 7 million board feet of lumber alone. They're going to save 350,000 tons of iron and steel by limiting the number of different kinds of stoves you can pick out. There used to be 26 different types of hatchets you could buy. They cut that in half. They cut 915 different kinds of garden tools down to 123, and they've taken the shirt tails and the pockets and the ruffles off of nightgowns and saved 180 million yards of cloth. Not to mention the pockets they've taken off my shirt, which hasn't saved me any worry, but it probably saved another arithmetical figure, so I'm for it. They saved 5,700 tons of steel because of the hairpins and the bobby pins that you can't get and that they cut down in size. You know, it's just a question of us having enough to get along on. We can get along on a whole lot less than we figured if we'll buckle down to it. So much for that. Eleanor Solo is from Porgy and Bess. It's one of the nicest lullabies that's been written in years. She's going to sing Summertime. Dave, if you please.
Jumping.
Just a kind of final word about food production. The Congressional Food Study Committee predicts that a large portion of the 1,943 pack of fruits and vegetables will rot in the fields for want of pickers and civilians. That's you are going to do without canned goods next year unless more people pitch in and go to work to get that crop in and canned. So if you live near a food processing packing plant or a cannery, see if you can't work in on some of those short shifts they're running. The United States Employment Service is the place to register, and that's a really vital war work. Pitch in. That's about all for today. So until tomorrow, thank you and good afternoon.
Tomorrow at this same time, Owens, Illinois, developers of Duraglass containers, in cooperation with the United States government, send you another of these programs dedicated to the health and happiness of wartime America, with songs by Eleanor Stever and Frank Parker, music by David Brookman, and Mrs. America's favorite visitor, Fletcher Wiley, your home front reporter. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.